Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except for through him. Yeah, Jesus. We've started sharing. We're working our way towards sharing the cross of Jesus Christ. We'll be doing that on Good Friday. We have usually a small Good Friday service where we share about the cross. And then, of course, Easter is coming. The resurrection day, we share in the grace and power of the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. But we're spending a little time with Jesus in the upper room where he was sharing with his closest disciples. He was sharing with them the power of what was about to happen. And last time we talked about the things that we haven't totally seen yet. Jesus said, you know, that he was the way, the truth, and life. And because, you know, the guy said, you know, how do we know where you're going? What do you know? And we talked about this last week where there are these great, precious promises that God has given us. That he's given us a promise of a place. He's given us a promise of being with him, of absolute justice and righteousness and love and peace, and all the riches of the kingdom are waiting for us. And, of course, that only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ broke through sin. He broke through the barrier that would keep us out of the kingdom of heaven. And he made it possible for us to enter into the kingdom and receive those promises. So when we say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except for through the Son, we're talking about a powerful event that changed cosmic history. Before Jesus came and died on the cross, rose again, and entered into the kingdom, before there was a way, there was no way. Before there was a way, there was no way. Before Jesus made it possible, those promises were out there, but they were unattainable. And now they are absolutely attainable in Jesus. Through Jesus and through whom else? No one else. Only through Jesus. That's why we must call on the name of Jesus. We must believe in Jesus. Everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus, name of the Lord, will be saved, right? So, but this part of it is like, okay, you know, this is where a lot of people think about Christianity as not really doing anything for your life. Because let's look at it. This is about future hope. This is about future grace. We get a little taste of it, but we have not yet entered into the kingdom. We haven't died and raised from the dead. We haven't, you know, gone where we're going yet. It's still out in front of us. So, you know, some people say, well, that's, you know, pie in the sky and by, but what about today? What about now? And in effect, that's what happens, is that Jesus goes on to explain to them more about today, more about what's going on. And first of all, we have to kind of step into what Jesus did while he was here. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. The NIV is afraid of the word works. Shouldn't be. Jesus basically tells them, and here's another paradigm about the idea of Jesus leaving the kingdom, coming into the world. And while he was in the world, John starts off, what was he? He was the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He is God. He is the light of the world, the light of heaven. Jesus came, right, into the world, right? And he's telling these guys, says, listen, guys, when you see me, you see the Father. The word, I like that. Yeah, the word, word, the name, word, that, that John gives Jesus. And for the first centuries of the church, when people wanted to talk about Jesus and talk about his personage, him being God and man, right? They used the term logos because that's what John said in the beginning was the logos, the word, right? And if you think about what is a word, well, a word is a message. And in Jesus Christ, there is this perfect representation, this perfect presentation of God. And that's what he's telling his fellows. He says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. You know, and again, they watched how he taught. They watched how he was able to speak to lepers and make them healed. He opened the blind eyes. He even raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. They saw all that mighty, powerful work that said, indeed, that Jesus is God. And so when Philip asked him this, he says, you know, Philip, how is it you don't get it? How is it you don't see who I am? There are a lot of people that don't see who Jesus is. It's a sad thing because they want to deny his deity. They want to deny his power. They want to deny what he's accomplished. They want to say there is some other way other than Jesus. And Jesus is basically, as he came, he was on a mission and he was here to show God, to be God, to die as God-man so that the way could be open, right? Now that's important because you have to think of that as Jesus being one person. And wherever Jesus put his foot, there was the light of God. Wherever Jesus preached or spoke, there was the truth of God. Wherever Jesus was, there was the life of God. In other words, all that he said about himself, it was fixed to where he was present in the world, right? Now we're going to get to the part that has more to do about us. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. There's a lot of text. So what is Jesus telling his guys? He said, okay, he says, I'm going away. The world won't be able to find me. He tells them all that, right? But he says, I am going to give you another counselor. The word paraclete, some of you know that word. The word paraclete, the idea of the comforter or the counselor, the Spirit of God. There's two words that are used to define another or defined another in Greek. One of them, heteron, means another of a different kind. So when you talk about heteron euangelion or another gospel, it's a gospel of a different sort. It's a, you know, so we don't put up with heteron euangelion. We don't put up with another gospel. But then there's the word allon, which means another of the same kind. And Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, when I leave, I am going to send you another comforter, another counselor, another partner, another someone to be with you in this present evil age. I'm going to send you another like me. The Holy Spirit is what he's talking about. And so he's giving them the promise of what he's going to give them. And he says it is the Spirit of Truth, and he has a lot more to say about that. This is the thing. When you think about what Jesus accomplished, what happened when Jesus died and rose again from the dead, first of all, it opened the way to the kingdom of heaven. And it made it possible for us to go into the kingdom of heaven. But it's almost like it's a two-way door because it also made it possible for the Holy Spirit to come and to fill the hearts and minds of believers and to transform our relationship with God now, here, at this time. You know, so when people try to tell me that Christianity is only about after you die, and that it's all about, well, you know, it's only a hope past the grave, and it doesn't have anything to do with my present life, it just tells me they don't understand the gospel. When Jesus rose again from the dead, and he brought, you know, went into the heaven, and he showed himself to the Father, all of a sudden now there's a possibility for the Spirit of God to come into the hearts of believers and to transform us, like we saw in the book of Romans. It gives us that righteousness, that power within ourselves to do better, to be better. And it's not just one person. You see, this, you know, Jesus said, the works I do, they will do, and even greater. And some people say, well, you know, look, Jesus raised the dead, so we should be out there raising the dead. Or all the sick should be healed, right? Because that's what we think of when we think of greater works. But when you think about what Jesus did, he represented God in the world. And when I say that, he was God in the world. And wherever he stood, there was the grace of God. And wherever he stood, there was the truth of God. And wherever he stood, there was the light of God. Pure, absolute, of course, more powerful. But now he has given the Spirit to how many people? How many people are possessed by the Spirit of Christ? How many people have the light of God in their heart? How many people have the truth of God in their heart by the Holy Spirit? How many of us, when we go to a different place, we can share the truth of God? We can share the life of God? We can share the hope of God, right? Because we have the Spirit of God in us. And that, again, when Jesus opened up the kingdom of heaven for us to go into the kingdom, he opened it up also for the kingdom of heaven to come into us. And that we are a part of it, not after we die, but right now. Right now. Now, I'm not talking about this, as some people will tell you, well, that means we're supposed to be driving Lincolns and stuff. No, 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 no. That's not what it means. We like Jesus did. Like Jesus did. How did Jesus walk in this world? What was his main ambition? What was his main, you know, use of his time? Did he worry about, oh, how am I going to get by tomorrow? I'm going to go get me some money, you know? I mean, one of my favorite stories is when the issue of taxes come up. He said, hey, Peter, go catch a fish. And he catches a fish and he pulls a coin out of the fish's mouth. And basically telling Peter, let's not worry about things that aren't really that important, right? God will provide what we need, right? In that sense. And let's get about the business of being the peace people of God, right? So Jesus, wherever he went, what did he do? He went through towns and villages proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And there he did heal the sick. And there he did do therapy, if you will, healing. But mainly, first of all, sharing the light and truth of God, telling people about the kingdom, telling people about the plan of salvation, telling people you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You don't have to be in bondage to Satan. You can be free from the powers of this present evil age. You can be, you know, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can have a strength that the world can't have. So he says, you know, listen, guys, he says, you know, you're going to be able to do greater things. His hope is to bring glory, and that actually goes into the next chapter, to bring glory to the Father, that we're fruitful, right? And he's going to send for this counselor, this Holy Spirit. As we worship today, as we call upon the name of the Lord, you know, I enjoy worshiping God. I enjoy worshiping God in the community of his people because I'm always looking for refreshment, recreation. God, fill me again. God, make me stronger, you know. I don't know. There's no way I could survive a Michigan march, you know, without the Holy Spirit. I'm serious. I mean, goodness, I'm like aching for some sunshine, you know. I'm aching to see those clouds part away. You know, people get depressed. You get sad. You get worn out. And you come into the house of the Lord, and you lift up the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden light breaks through. It's not that sunshine light, but it's the Son of God light, right? And it gets into your heart, and it gives you that energy and that strength that you need. Gives you the love and the power that you need. So Jesus told us, he said, listen, he says, what's going to happen is when I go, I'm going to send this other comforter, this one that's just like me, and he's going to be in you. And he's going to give you things. He's going to give you power. This is kind of interesting, and I'm not going to read. I got this whole text, right? Oh, I should read it because it's the Word of God. Yeah. Okay. It says, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And Judas, not Iscariot, because he was gone, said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come and we will make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father who sent me. All that I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. And then he says, come, let us leave. That's the end of the upper room. Oh, I'm sorry. I had two pages there. But here are the things that he says about the Spirit of God in that text. Just to capture. Remember what he said. He says, you know, when I go, God is going to send you another counselor. He's going to give you another comfort. He's going to give you the Spirit of truth. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit, right? And he says, and if you once you have that, or when you have that, the works that I do, you will do it even greater. And I got, you know, it's some people have taken that and said, well, that's got to mean miracles. And even the NIV translates that miracles. But nowhere in all of that text does Jesus say anything about healing or any of that. But look what he does say. He says, first of all, the Spirit of God is going to let you know that you have life, that you have the power of resurrection inside of you. It will testify to you about eternal life. How do I know that Jesus rose from the dead? How do I know that Jesus has the power to raise me from the dead? How do I know that there's a kingdom of heaven? Because there's a Spirit of God inside of me that testifies to me. This is word, and it is true word. And you need to listen to it, right? So the Spirit of God, he leads us towards that. The Spirit of God gives us fellowship with God. You know, John in his first epistle, First John, he writes, he says, I'm writing this to you so that you may have fellowship, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and with each other. In other words, it's this family that we belong to. How do we belong to that family? Brother, you and I, we don't have the same DNA, but we've got the same Holy Spirit inside of us. That's how you become family, right? You become family because the Spirit of God makes us the children of God. And Romans says the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we belong to him. We have fellowship, that we know them. Because, again, you know, how do I know anything about Jesus? I can read the Word, but like other people read it, and it doesn't do anything for them. Some people can pick up the Bible, and it means nothing to them. Some of us read it, and the Spirit of God makes it alive. The Spirit of God says, oh, this is me. This is what you need to learn about and listen to. And the Spirit of God teaches us and reminds us things that Jesus said, right? So it works in our hearts. He lives in us through the Spirit. He teaches us about God. We receive peace from God. Later on, Jesus will tell him almost his last words to him. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But don't be afraid, for I've overcome the world. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the grace and power of God. We need the peace of God in our hearts, or this world will eat us alive. This world will cause us to go become drug addicts, drunks, you know, habitual users of whatever, just to escape, you know, the pains and the troubles and the sorrows of the world. The Holy Spirit is my escape. And it's a real escape. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is my crutch. The Holy Spirit is what I lean on. And when I find myself struggling, I don't go to the pill bottle and I don't go to the alcohol cabinet. I go to Jesus Christ. I ask God, fill me again with your Spirit. Give me again grace and power. See, all of this, he says, I'm telling you so you might believe. The real mission of the Spirit of God is to increase faith. Go back to that picture. The real mission of the Holy Spirit and healing, you know, by the way, all the apostles healed. I believe in healing. I will pray for healing. No problem with that at all. But I also believe God is God and he can say no because he is God. But the one thing I am certain that the Holy Spirit is here to do, and that is to spread faith, that is to encourage faith, that is to share the good news about who Jesus is, and it becomes very real to us through the Spirit of God. Multiplied by millions. Millions who have the Spirit of God. Millions who can stand up and testify, yes, I believe in Jesus. I confess he's true. I know what he has done for me. And I know what he can do for you. Yeah, you know. You know, it's an awesome thing to be not, you know, people in this world, they shun religion. And I don't blame them. Because religion doesn't mean much. Not religion. Not the way they talk about it. Because religion to them is a dead thing. Religion to them is something you do. You go through a ritual. You do your duty. Christianity is not that kind of religion. Christianity is alive. It's a living thing. It lives in us. It lives in the believer. The person of the Holy Spirit communicates its truth, tells us the realities of it. You know, one of the signs of the end of the age is the idea of religion where they practice religion. They practice a dead religion. They deny the power of real religion. I simply see that as an absence of the Spirit of God. When you take God out of it, and I mean the living God. I'm not talking about God. I mean when you take the living God out of religion, it is nothing. Nothing to be pursued, nothing to be admired, nothing to be loved, nothing to be offered. But when you're talking about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, when you're talking about the power that was unleashed by his death and resurrection, when you're talking about an encounter with God that transforms heart, mind, soul, and gives you an absolute knowledge of truth and of the kingdom and of your destiny, now that is a living thing. That is the real Christianity that Jesus died for. Father, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that indeed we know he did not die in vain. He died so that we might be filled with your Holy Spirit, that we might know the joy and the peace and the wonder of the kingdom, even though we're not there, that we might know a taste of the power of the resurrection, and a taste of the power that will rule the world to come. And we thank you, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to give us that taste. Continue to give us what we need, Father, that we would hold on to our faith. That we would not be shakable like the world is shakable. that we would be your people. Because your plan, your gospel works wonders. Thank you, Father. Thank you, mighty God. Praise you, Father, for the good work that you've done. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a closer walk with thee.
So remember, we're going to have the cafe open if you'd like to join us for some time of talk, fellowship. Father, we thank you again for this day and ask that you will bless our hearts and minds. You've already given us a grace through your Holy Spirit, and we just want to continue to be fed, Father, from your hand, Almighty God. Have your Spirit and your grace, your power in us, Almighty God, so that we can be a benefit to others around us, Father. Our prayers will be empowered. Our words will be empowered. Our lives will be empowered as you are in us. So help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.